The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Episode 3, whatever, of Handsome Dan's Final Say. I bet some of you wish it was the final say last time, but tough shit, I'm back, and I'm about to spew my opinions all over your faces. Let's clear the old vocal cords, and let's get this ball rolling. This is once again an attempt to keep myself from dying on the road, seeing as how I went into work at 2 a.m. this morning, and it is now 12:30 in the afternoon. So, you know, no big deal. Just put in a 10-hour day. That's kind of what I do. I don't necessarily get compensated for it because I'm salary. So, but you know what they say, there's a sucker born every minute, and I guess I was way back in 1977, around December 20th or so, another sucker was due, and I just happened to pop out of the old birth canal and into this happy little world to be that sucker. So that's me. I'm optimistic that this is all leading somewhere and that someday I'm going to be some kind of big shot or something in the hotel biz, but for now, I'm just a grunt. I'm just the Kofi Kingston. I'm just the Damian Sandow, grinding and biding my time until I eventually never get called up to the main event. So, speaking of Damian Sandow and Kofi Kingston and all those happy lads there in the WWE land, I have not watched Raw in a couple of weeks, and so I don't know what the fuck is going on. Well, that's not exactly true. I know a little bit about what's going on because it's almost like you don't even have to watch the show. If you're connected at all to wrestling fans on social media, you're going to know pretty much blow for blow everything that went down on the weekly wrestling TV shows. So I know The Undertaker's back. Big fucking whoop. Seriously, against Brock Lesnar, we get to look forward to another lay around and fart on each other for 45 minutes match. Big fucking hallelujah. Can't wait for that shit. As if we didn't get enough of that with the two, count them, two Undertaker Triple H matches and the Triple H Brock Lesnar match from last year. Now we have that to look forward to again, after the masterpiece that Taker and Punk put on the year before. You've got some pretty big shoes to fill there, Brock. Good luck with that. Seriously, my plan, and it may not have been the best plan, but I thought it would have worked. The Shield were the ones that put Undertaker out of commission last time he came back, around WrestleMania time, shortly thereafter. So if The Undertaker was going to come back, why in the fuck would he target Brock Lesnar? That doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. I mean, John Cena has beaten Brock, so it's not like Undertaker taking out Brock Lesnar as any kind of magical feat or anything like that. Didn't CM Punk beat Brock Lesnar? And CM Punk couldn't beat The Undertaker, so really, what is The Undertaker, what does he have to prove by challenging Brock Lesnar? I don't know, I don't get it. I would think that you would want to target the people that put you out of commission, and that would be The Shield. And so my line of thinking, for what it's worth, you have The Undertaker challenge The Shield. The Shield is probably going to tease a Roman Reigns-Undertaker matchup. Pardon me as I make my turn here so I don't die. I keep two hands on the wheel. 2 and 10, bitches. In the name of safety. So, you know, they tease a Roman Reigns-Undertaker match. Maybe a face-off between the two. And everyone gets excited because they know Roman Reigns is the future and they know Undertaker is the past. And that's the matchup everybody wants to see. But then you pull the rug right out from under the fuckers and you don't give them what they want. Classic WWE-style booking 101. And instead, you have The Shield implode. Roman Reigns challenges Dean Ambrose for the United States Championship at WrestleMania, wins, takes the Goldberg route. Goldberg had to win the U.S. title before he won the world title from Hulk Hogan. In case y'all don't remember that, you can catch up now and know what I know by watching the WWE Network and checking that out. But so Roman Reigns gets set on his path to greatness. If they have a good enough match, then Dean Ambrose looks like $1 million, even in losing. You know, those two guys can put on a show. And then the two that really put on a show, since Reigns and Ambrose are preoccupied with each other, it falls upon the leader of The Shield, Seth Rollins, to challenge The Undertaker. Now, that may not seem like a marquee matchup, but you know what? You don't need a marquee matchup at WrestleMania. WrestleMania sells itself. The event is what sells tickets, not the matchups, in my opinion. I mean, you've already got John Cena versus Bray Wyatt happening, and there's enough people that care about that are going to tune in for that. If you had Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose happening, that would be exciting, and I think people would want to tune in for that. I think they should give Brock Lesnar something else to do instead of facing The Undertaker. I think Triple H versus CM Punk would have been a good matchup. Fuck Randy Orton versus Batista. No one gives a shit. But anyway, but WrestleMania is what sells. It's the name on the marquee. The only one that matters is WrestleMania because it's an event. It's a spectacle. It's like the Super Bowl. You don't have to have a team in the Super Bowl to get excited about it because it's an event. It's a not really once in a lifetime, obviously, because it's every year. But, you know, it's one of those special events. Like, who really gives a shit about, the fucking stuff that goes on in the Olympics? Like, you wouldn't watch that shit normally. You ever see some of these events, like, during the season? Like, you're just flipping through channels and you come across this stuff on ESPN. You come across the luge. Or you come across some extreme sport like the fucking snowboarding. I mean, you don't sit on that for even 2 seconds before you flip the channel. No one gives a shit about that stuff, but all of a sudden during the Olympics, everybody's all about it. Why? Because the Olympics are an event. They're a happening. WrestleMania is a happening. So you don't need marquee matchups to sell the show. You need something that's going to steal the show, something that's going to send the fans home happy. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the Undertaker-CM Punk match at last year's WrestleMania, I would have gone home a very disappointed man. Because the rest of that card was pretty much shit. Seriously, if you think back over it, the John Cena-Rock match was terrible. Triple H-Brock Lesnar sucked. Ryback versus Mark Henry was stupid. So it's just a big clusterfuck that was just one big disappointment after another. So instead, why not give the fans some decent matches? And just like you saw CM Punk carry the road in his match with The Undertaker last year, you've got a guy who was in the prime of his physical prowess in Seth Rollins. I mean, this guy is a fucking gazelle. He's a fucking jaguar. He's a beast. He's a thoroughbred. That's the word I'm looking for. He's a thoroughbred. And so if anyone could get something out of The Undertaker, it's going to be this guy. He's obviously reckless, doesn't give a shit about his own welfare or well-being. So, you know, he would fly all over the place for The Undertaker. It'd be the perfect opponent. And you build it up by giving Seth Rollins, letting him get the upper hand. He doesn't have to pin The Undertaker because that's a little too obvious. But, you know, maybe cost The Undertaker a match or embarrass him or something. Or, you know, just do something to show that he's quick, he's agile, he's a physical specimen. And The Undertaker is old and battered and beaten down and worn down. And this guy has the speed and the determination. He's got the hunger to maybe sneak a win, steal a win from the Phenom and end the streak if The Undertaker's not careful. They could sell it like The Undertaker is overconfident because nothing has overcome the streak. All the big names have never overcome the streak, and Seth Rollins is nobody at this point. I mean, seriously, do I have to think of everything myself? I don't know. It just makes sense to me, and I feel like they could have a hell of a match, but whatever. Pardon me. I had to take a swig of my beverage. So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but there's my thoughts on The Undertaker coming back. I feel like it's going to be wasted because I don't care what him and Brock do. It's not going to compare to the CM Punk match. Even though I wasn't the biggest fan of the Shawn Michaels matches that The Undertaker had, it's not going to compare to those matches. I didn't love the Hell in the Cell match that Taker and Triple H had a couple years ago. I felt like the best part of that match was Shawn Michaels as the referee. Just the way he was emoting. Just added that extra bit of drama to the match that it needed. So Brock Taker isn't even going to approach that match. So, why should I give a fuck? This is a fucking waste. I don't care who wins between Brock and The Undertaker. Well, I know who's going to win. The Undertaker's going to win. Now, if they pull the ultimate swerve and they give Brock the win, I mean, at this point, anything is possible. The fact that they brought Batista back, the way they brought him back, and they're trying to stick with him despite the fact that the crowd has clearly turned on this horse shit that WWE laid out in front of them and made them step in and walk through. I mean, anything can happen at this point, right? They could easily have Brock beat the streak. I wouldn't put it past him, honestly, at this point. Not that that's what I want to see or that that's a good idea. That's a terrible idea. That would be fucking awful. But at this point, really, how can you not say that, yeah, that's a possibility because WWE is dumb as fuck. And as much as people like Greg Gethard or whoever the fuck want to insist that there's a payoff coming, there's not. There is no payoff coming. There has never been a payoff. I don't want to say never, but there has not been a payoff in the last, what, 10 fucking years? And all of a sudden there's going to be a payoff? Fuck you. What gives you this certainty? What gives you this affirmation that there's going to be a satisfactory payoff coming from all this bullshit that they're putting us through? There isn't any. Yeah, we can all play fantasy booker and pretend for a minute that this is all leading somewhere, but it's not. It's fucking not. Look at all the people who could be at the top right now and are just barely treading water. Look at Dolph Ziggler. Look at Damian Sandow. Look at Cody Rhodes. Look at these guys. I mean, even Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. Okay, I don't want to get off on too much of a rant here with this, because this thing has been beaten into the ground worse than the dead horse. This has been beaten into the ground like the dead horse's uterus. Like they took a pregnant horse, beat that fucker into the ground, and then pulled the baby out of the uterus, and then beat that into the ground. And then that baby's ghost, they performed an exorcism on the baby's ghost. That's how badly this argument has gone around the horn, or how many times. But when you look at the roster of the WWE, and I posted this on some page, I don't remember which one, maybe it was the Shining Wizards page, ShiningWizards.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, is that what it is now? I think so. If you look at the roster, like 30% of the roster, I think it was 30%, it may have been more, has been with the company. Fuck, I can't remember the years now, but pre-John Cena. So, like, say 2004 and beyond. So going backwards, 2004 and beyond. So anybody who got into the company after 2004, so like 30% of the roster is made up of people who were in the company at that time, 2004, or had been in the company and left. That's 10 years. So all these guys, Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Undertaker, John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, the New Age Outlaws, fucking Kane, Mark Henry, all these guys, Big Show, you take all these guys and you completely eliminate them from the picture. Do you realize how many spots that opens up? Like, I'm glad for the stuff that CM Punk has done. You know, he broke the glass ceiling. He didn't take no for an answer, and he made himself a star. He made himself a big name despite the culture in the WWE being what it is. And my hat's off to him for accomplishing that. However, can you imagine what kind of memories, what kind of stories, what kind of matches could be taking place right now, could have been taking place over the past couple of years? With people like, I mean, even Chris Jericho and Daniel Bryan and Antonio Cesaro and Jack Swagger and Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, look, any situation, the perception is skewed by the positioning of the players. You understand what I mean? Fuck, how am I supposed to explain this? Hold on, I need another drink. when it's made abundantly clear that the top spots belong to these people, and no matter what the guys underneath do, these guys are always going to be on top. Always. They're always going to come out looking better than these guys. That shapes the public's opinion of the product. It shapes their opinion of those underneath guys, and it shapes their opinion of the top guys. And so it's almost impossible for anyone to break out of that structure. Now, CM Punk was able to accomplish it. Daniel Bryan was able to accomplish it. But yet, look at how those guys have been used in comparison to how everybody else is being used. Those guys who have obviously gotten the stamp of approval from the WWE to be the top guys for who knows how fucking long into the future are always booked to look better than these guys, even when those underneath guys accomplish something and break through and achieve something. And if you can't see that, then you fucking are watching wrestling with your head stuffed up your ass. You have to be if you can't see that. So, this is my argument. This is what frustrates me about the WWE. And this is why it's hard for me to sit through their programming for any consistent length of time. Like, yes, there are things about the show that I enjoy, but when I think about how much is going to those same guys who have been there for so long, it frustrates me. It's hard to sit through. It would be like someone on a football team. Okay, take a football team. And I don't know much about football. I watch it. I understand the basics. But let's just say you got a quarterback on the bench. He's the backup. Okay, let's take Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Brett Favre is regarded as one of the greatest of all time. What the fuck ever. Who cares? But on the bench, you got Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers has proven himself to be a capable quarterback. Some people hate him because they feel like he pushed Brett out. I don't really give a shit. But, I mean, the guy can play. He can play football. So, you look at that situation, and it would be like, okay, Brett is clearly past his prime. He wins the occasional game. He has the occasional great moment. But the reason he's having those moments, the reason he's having those games is because he's fucking out there. He has the ball. Ownership said, you're our guy. Go out there and play. You got center stage. You got the ball. Do what you want. Have fun. Have your moment. Okay? This is what they have decided. Ownership has decided this. And they are content to leave Aaron Rodgers on the bench despite all of his talent, despite all of his capability, despite all of his youth and vibrance and energy, despite the fact that the results might be even better if you were to give this guy a chance for no other reason than he's young, he's hungry, he's talented, he wants a chance to prove himself. But imagine if ownership just stuck to their guns and kept Brett Favre out there. That's the equivalent of what you've got going on in the WWE. And yes, you're starting to see some younger guys emerge, and maybe we're starting to turn the corner, and we're getting to that point where the older guys are going to start bowing out, and the younger guys are going to start taking over. And maybe they know better than we do. Maybe they realized that all of those guys that I named, like the Cody Rhodes and the Damian Sandows and the Dolph Ziggler's and the Daniel Bryan's and the CM Punk's and all that, maybe they realized that those guys weren't the ones to carry the company into the future. And they were waiting on the Antonio Cesaros, and they were waiting on the Roman Reigns's, the Reno Riggins's of the world to develop and get to that point where they can pass the ball to them. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they were waiting for the Seth Rollins's and the Dean Ambrose's. Who knows? Maybe they actually do know what they're doing over there. But I understand. Don't come at me with the whole, well, you don't know anything about business and you don't know this and that. No, I understand it perfectly. I know that John Cena is the cash cow and that's why they keep him there and all of that shit. I get that. I totally get that. I'm not denying that for a minute. I understand. I'm just saying, in these past 10 years or whatever, how many magical moments, how many memories can we look back on fondly and say, yeah, I remember that. That was fucking awesome. What a great fucking storyline that was. What a great match that was. What a great memory. What a great moment. In these past 10 years, how much of that can we actually look back to and say, yeah, that was fucking awesome. That was great. I don't know. I feel like there isn't a whole hell of a lot to point to. First of all, there's so much that they're pouring out there that they're slamming on our plate. How can you fucking even pick through it all? And yeah, I know, that's just me being an old school fan and being bitter about the way things are these days and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. But still, it does make it hard. Like, I can point to specific matches from my childhood that stood out because I didn't have to sift through millions of matches to find those memories. Another drink. Ah. I didn't have to, I can still recall a match between Bret Hart and Randy Savage. Bret Hart was, you know, he was a tag team wrestler at the time. He was part of the Hart Foundation. The greatest heel stable of all time, motherfuckers. That's right, come at me, bitches, with your fucking pussy-ass arguments about the fucking Four Horsemen. And I'll take those four fingers and I'll shove them up your ass. Because it's not about accomplishments, it's about the essence of what a heel stable is, and that's why the Hart Foundation, not the 90s Attitude Era Hart Foundation, but the classic Hart Foundation of 1987 is the greatest heel stable of all time. But that's a discussion for another day. What the fuck was I talking about? Oh. No, I still don't have it. Brain fart. Wow. See what I get for bragging? For boasting? I get so enamored with myself that I lose all train of thought. But yeah, oh, that's what I was talking about. The matches, the memories. I could pick out that match from a Saturday night's main event. Bret Hart was just a tag team wrestler at the time. You didn't know how good he was in singles competition if all you'd been watching was the WWF. And then you saw that match with Randy Savage, and I remember thinking it was one of the best matches I'd ever seen. I remember that battle royal where Andre and Hogan confronted each other, and all the storyline that was involved in that. It wasn't just dudes out there flinging each other over the top rope and punching and brawling and stuff like that. I mean, there was so many characters involved there, and so much at stake in a battle royal. And these days, battle royals don't mean shit. Yeah, but I remember this stuff. I remember these moments. Because I don't have to sift through so much pro programming, so much TV, so much pay-per-view. But anyway, that's another story. But I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, what kind of matches we could have seen, what kind of moments could have been made, memories. And I feel like we're missing out. But speaking of those moments, speaking of those memories, the main thing that I actually wanted to talk about was the WWE Network, because this is the only thing I've spent any time on in the past couple of weeks, wrestling related. I was bound and determined to keep up on Impact Wrestling, and I've not been able to do that. Work has been keeping me too busy. I was bound and determined, well, kind of, to keep up with Raw, even though the prospect of sitting in front of my TV for 3 hours is a bit tedious. But, you know, I wanted to give it my best shot. Haven't been able to do any of that. So, instead, I purchased the network. I made the six-month commitment because I felt like it was worth it to at least be able to see the current pay-per-views without having to stream them, because when I stream things, I just get fucking annoyed. And I become a burden to my family, because it just puts me in such a fucking sour mood when I try to stream this shit and it freezes and I have to refresh it and all of this and I miss everything that happens. And here I am thinking I'm going to watch the show for free, and like everybody else seems to be able to. Everybody else seems to be able to just click on some fucking page and like the gates of heaven open and the thing is just there, like they paid for the fucking thing. And the streaming is seamless and all this other bullshit. Not me. I get maybe 5 minutes in and it fucking freezes and it doesn't recover and I have to try another page. And like I spend an hour just switching between pages and refreshing and all this other shit and I just get fed up. So I would save myself, if anything, and my family the burden of having to deal with a grumpy me from having to stream or try to stream these pay-per-views. Because despite the fact that I don't really necessarily like everything that WWE is doing, there's a lot of it actually that I don't like. I like to stay in the loop. I like to know what's going on. And a lot of times if you miss the pay-per-view, I mean, you miss a lot because that's what everyone's going to be talking about the next day. So it was one way to stay in the loop. It was a affordable way to stay in the loop because fucked if I'm going to be paying $80 for WrestleMania and $60 for all the other fucking pay-per-views. No fucking way. I didn't even get the Royal Rumble this year because I couldn't afford it. I probably would have bought WrestleMania, maybe, but it would have been tight. With the WWE Network, I'm paying less than I would for both of those pay-per-views combined or even singularly, and I'm getting 6 months worth of pay-per-views. I mean, for that alone, fuck the archive footage. Just for the pay-per-views alone, you'd be stupid not to get the network. You'd be fucking stupid. If you want to know what's going on, at least that much. You don't even have to enjoy the fucking pay-per-views. If you at least just want to be informed as a wrestling fan of what's going on with the current product, you should have bought the network. And if you haven't, you need to go buy it. Who cares if it's giving Vince McMahon money? It's not like you're going to put him out of business by boycotting him and his promotion. It's not like all the 35-year-olds boycotting the WWE is going to put him out of business. Because as much as we like to believe that we have an impact and we make a difference, we fucking don't. Because the product is not geared toward us. It's geared towards a completely different audience, and they're the ones keeping that machine afloat. It's not us. So come down off your fucking high horse, Mike Norenganger, and buy the fucking network already. Because you know you want to. Just fucking stop thinking that you're going to make a difference, because you're not. And if everybody who was just like you boycotted the WWE, it wouldn't make a fucking difference. So just stop. Stop kidding yourself. Just get the fucking thing already. And here's why you should get it. Not just to stay in the loop, okay? That's one good reason. That's a damn good reason. But here's another reason. I enjoy all the side shows and all that stuff, the little fucking countdowns and shit like that, even though they're bullshit most of the time. But, you know, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's just something to do. But more than anything, you get to see Madison Square Garden shows. You get to see the Legends Roundtable. Now, the Legends Roundtable, some people might feel like that's bullshit. But you know what? I fucking enjoy it. I enjoy any time you get to sit and hear insiders talk about the business and tell stories. That's worth it to me. But the Madison Square Garden shows are worth it to me for this very important reason. Because if fans who watch wrestling today and all they know is the current stuff, not just WWE, I'm talking about the current TNA, I'm talking about the current Ring of Honor, the current Dragon Gate, the current Evolve, the current PWG, the current whatever. Pick your Fed. The current wrestling product, if that's all they know, then they would be doing themselves a disservice by not getting the WWE Network and exposing themselves to how good wrestling, professional wrestling, is capable of being. And I'll give you an example. Madison Square Garden show opened with Pedro Morales defending the Intercontinental title against Moondog Rex. It was okay. It was kind of a boring match. But then, the crown jewel of the night was Pat Patterson, the babyface, going up against the heel, Sergeant Slaughter, in a no-holds-barred match. At least I think it was a no-holds-barred match. I think they both, Slaughter ended up getting disqualified, so it couldn't have been a no-holds-barred match. I think it was just that it was such a grudge match, the referee was allowing a lot of latitude. So, because they were knocking him down and doing all kinds of shit. But it was just such a lesson in how to sell a story and how to sell a match and how one wrestler makes another wrestler look like $1 million. I mean, you know that Geico commercial where that guy's driving the boat and he's made of money and the dollar bills are just flying off of him? That might as well have been what Pat Patterson looked like, thanks to Sergeant Slaughter and the work he did in that match as the heel. The way he was flying around the ring. Now, he was a good bumping heel, even in the twilight of his career, when his matches with Hulk Hogan. A lot of people, I don't think he gets the credit for the great performances that he put in during that time, even though he was a lot heavier, and he was getting older, he was still putting in some really good ring work. But man, he was in his fucking prime in this match. I think this was from the late 70s, early 80s, and he was all over the fucking ring, and he was gesturing to the crowd and shit. I mean, it was fucking awesome. It was a great, great, great match. And when it was over with, I mean, you couldn't help but have fun. And that's what wrestling is all about in the end, is just having fun, enjoying yourself, enjoying what's going on in the ring, enjoying the play that they're putting out, the performance that they're putting out. And I realized that after it was done, you know, I mean, I noticed it during the match too, of course, but, you know, when it was done, not a single fucking Hurricanrana, not a single fucking tope or moonsault or suicide dive, not a single fucking one. Yeah, there was some brawling and they went out on the floor and shit like that, but no one went through a table, no one landed in tacks, no one even hit somebody with a chair. And that's the go-to in a brawl, right? The steel chair shot. None of that. None of it. And yet, it was one of the funnest matches that I've seen in a long time. Why? Because those two guys know how to fucking wrestle, that's why. And yeah, I say that with a chip on my shoulder, because as much as people want to talk about knowing how to wrestle, or amping up the action, or whatever. Like, I understand you don't want to do the whole fucking rest hold shit, and I understand. And you know what? There wasn't really any of that in this match. They kept the action going, but they didn't have to fucking kill themselves to do it. They didn't have to break their fucking necks or do this shit that didn't make any sense. Like, you're in a grudge match, you want to inflict damage on your opponent, why the fuck would you dive over the top rope outside to the floor? I mean, you're risking fucking yourself up more than you are your opponent, and that's just fucking stupid. I mean, a real tough guy isn't going to do that. He's going to go down there, he's going to beat the shit out of him. I don't know. But to me, it was just such great psychology, and it was great action. I mean, you could tell these guys hated each other, even though in real life they didn't. But, I mean, you were convinced of it when you were watching this match. And so, if nothing else, the value of the WWE Network, if just the what little exposure I had to it, can bring me to some kind of a conclusion on some kind of a verdict on yay or nay, should wrestling fans purchase the WWE Network, I'm going with a definite yay, an affirmative yes. Purchase the WWE Network. Forget about the fact that it pads Vince's pockets. His pockets are fat enough already as it is. This is just another drop in the bucket. Don't even worry about it. You know what? Just enjoy what you're getting out of it. You're gonna stay in the loop. You're gonna stay connected. You're gonna know what's going on, thanks to you know, being able to watch every pay-per-view for only $10 a month. And on top of that, you're gonna see why we fell in love with wrestling in the first place. And yes, I know you've got your old archival footage that you can go back and watch with the original music and blah blah blah, but you don't have these garden shows on tape, and I'm not going to try and fucking hunt them down either. I barely have time to push the red button on my remote control that turns the TV on. I'm not going to hunt down fucking tapes, so fuck that shit. And maybe there's a side benefit to all of this. And just maybe a whole new generation discovers what great wrestling is, thanks to the network. Maybe that's not WWE's intention, but maybe inadvertently, indirectly, because so many people are going to be exposed to how good wrestling can be, that maybe it becomes that good again. because the fans will start to demand it. They'll start to learn to appreciate it. It's almost like you have to fucking half kill yourself and do all these crazy spots and dives and shit just to get a rise out of the crowd anymore. It's like nobody understands or appreciates psychology because no one does it anymore. If all wrestlers would learn to pace themselves and not fucking give away the cow on every show, instead let the fans suck on that titty. Yeah, suck on that titty a little bit. Get a little taste of that sweet milk. Learn to appreciate it for what it is. You don't have to have the whole fucking cow. Just a little taste. You appreciate that more. I mean, but when you've got guys in high school gyms and VFW halls fucking diving through the ropes and doing 450 splashes and 820 splashes and 930 splashes and whatever else, it's kind of hard to keep pace with that and kind of hard to get a rise out of anybody when that's all they're seeing all the time. Anyway, I've made it to my humble abode, so I'm about to cut this short for now. I'll pop back in with a closing number here in just a minute. In the meantime, enjoy this commercial break. This is Handsome Dan Lopez, and you're listening to the Handsome Dan's Final Say.
So, as I was saying, hope you enjoyed that. We're bringing this, excuse me, bringing this baby home. This has been Handsome Dan's Final Say. Check out the network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. All the great shows available to you there. And thank you for spending a little time listening to me and my gibberish as I strove to stay awake on the road and not die by doing one of my favorite things to do, which is talk professional wrestling. And I can't wait until the next opportunity to do that with you. In the meantime, I don't know. I can't think of anything cool to end this with. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I am your gracious host, the smartest man not in pro wrestling, Handsome Dan Lopez, and this has been Handsome Dan's Final Say. Good night.